Hi, guys. This is Pastor Chuck Allen, and I'm back for day four of week four in our series that we've been working through, which is called Race Plan, 30 days to find your God-given groove. Guys, I really believe when we take a look at what we've already talked about and worked through, we will recognize to be the man that God wants us to be able to reach our full complement of everything God wants us to be, that potential that he has birthed within us, then we'll know to answer God's call, to stay in God's call, and to remain in the center of God's calling in our life. We'll recognize that we are built to be content with what God has given us, and yet to be in healthy spiritual contentment as we try to grow and aspire to be more. I understand that we'll look at character and we'll be men of integrity and humility. Today, I want to talk to you about coaching and what it looks like for us to be able to transform our lives. So let's start in Psalm chapter 78, verse 71, where it says, God chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep. He brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands, he led them. Israel needed a leader. God knew it, and he specifically chose a man after his own heart to lead his chosen people, a person who at the time was but a lowly shepherd, the youngest child in his family, and who was in his teenage years, not even a man yet. God saw David in the sheep pen, planning all along for him to shepherd the people of Israel. But David was not made king immediately. You see, though Samuel anointed him as king while he was still a young man, David didn't assume the throne until years later at the age of 30. So what was he doing all the time between his anointing and the assumption of a throne? He was being crafted, guys. He was being crafted. He knew that God had some more coaching to do in his life. There are 17 chapters in the Bible between the time Samuel anointed David as king and the time that David actually took on the kingship. And you know that because it works from 1 Samuel 16 through 2 Samuel chapter 5. During that time, David endured a lot of hardship, including a bloodthirsty pursuit by King Saul, the loss of a relationship with his best buddy, and displacement from his home. Also, disrespected from many that he met along the way. But listen, unless you think it was a bleak existence, David also had his share of triumphs along the way, including the defeat of a Philistine champion in Goliath, constant escape from danger and victory over the Philistine armies, a wife Abigail, and most of all, survival. All these things, good and bad, were part of the crafting David needed to become a successful king. You see, if we're going to allow ourselves to be answering God's call, if we're going to be the kind of person that finds contentment in what we're doing and how we face it, if we're going to build ourselves to be men of character, then we will also know that we have to be crafted. We need to be coached. We need to be prepared. All the things that Daniel experienced, good and bad, were part of the crafting that had to happen for him to be a king the way God wanted him to be a king. See, guys, the extraordinary man, the extraordinary leader has to have a careful balance of this combination in our life and in our leadership. Having one without the other will pull you off center, limiting our leadership and our life's effectiveness. We can have all the character we want, but if we have no competency to go with it, you won't go very far. And if you're chock full of competency, but you have no character, you'll stop at nothing to achieve your goals, even to the point of performing unscrupulous, immoral, and downright illegal activities. Guys, listen, the preservation of balance between character and competency will inevitably lead us to our crafting, how God is molding us and how we take seriously the art of discipleship, how we want to grow up to become the man God wants us to be. So as you increase your ability in one, you should seek to raise the other, continually working upward to make yourself better on the whole. You see, guys, as an extraordinary man that's finding their groove in this race plan of life, as we try to be able to be a leader in God's kingdom, you should always give 100%. And guys, when that happens, we're valuing nothing short of excellence in every task, every relationship, every role in our life. And this commitment to excellence will keep us and help us continually learn and improve. I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it over and over again because I believe it's so critical in the development of our spiritual lives and becoming the man God wants us to be, to find our groove. Guys, when you surrender your willingness to learn, you have surrendered your right to lead. So many leaders today look to the next rung of people above them as the people who are responsible for their development. We expect our boss or our pastor or our church or a superior to hand development down to us. Guys, listen, that's a false notion. You and you alone are primarily responsible for your development as a leader. Extraordinary leaders don't sit around waiting for the boss or the ministry leader to tell them their strengths and struggles and where they need improvements. Guys, the kind of guy that gets in a groove and stays in a groove and is on a winning pace with the Lord, we hold ourselves accountable to be an extraordinary man. We have a desire, a passion, and an aspirations to do all that it takes to be one. David knew that. And during those 17 chapters, he didn't just run around on his own. He spent that time amassing followers and men who were loyal to him. But he also forged valuable alliances with neighboring kingdoms that provided value, that provided huge value to his reputation and later as a king when he began conquering other nations. Guys, listen, when we take seriously our spiritual development, these things never end. We are on a path of discipleship to become more like Christ, and it never stops. If you live to be 100, then you'll stay on this journey. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2 says this, "The wise person makes learning a joy." Guys, let me ask you a question, and answer this and write it down. What are the three things in my life that I know if I would learn to discipline myself in these three things, I know my life not only would progress faster, but it would be more effective for God, for the kingdom, and for my development as a follower of Jesus. Remember the scripture again, guys. Proverbs 15:2. The wise person makes learning a joy. Guys, listen, take time, get in the Word. What three things do you need to learn to discipline in your life so that you can experience all God has for you? All right, guys, we've got one more day, and it's coming up tomorrow. Whatever you do, make sure you jump on this last. Share it with the other guys. If you're not a part of the weekday podcast, make sure you check those out and make sure that you subscribe on iTunes. If you're not a part of 4 for Friday already, today would be a good day to jump on the SHC app or to jump on sugarhill.church and go ahead and subscribe to where every Friday you're getting an email, a simple email in your inbox of four things I'm recommending to read, to listen, to learn, or to enjoy. All right, guys, I'll see you tomorrow for last day of Race Plan.